Wow. This interview you're about to listen to is one of the most extraordinary in Charlie Kirk Show history. Dr. Zelenko, world famous, counselor to many countries on how to treat the Fauci virus. He will open your eyes and he goes there. It's pretty amazing. ZStackLife.com/Charlie is a link he created if you're interested to learn more about what he is talking about on this episode. And I could tell you right now, share this episode with your friends. Share this episode. Text it, email it. It will open eyes. What he talks about here is the most focused and incredible indictment of the medical industrial complex I've ever heard. Dr. Zelenko, with thought crimes like you wouldn't believe, in a very good way. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. I'm honored to have someone that I've admired for quite some time here on the show. He's someone that has been spreading some needed information around treating the Fauci virus. That is Dr. Zelenko. Doctor, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks so much for having me. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. First, why don't you take a moment here to introduce yourself, kind of your work, your credentials, and how did you find yourself into this line of work?
Well, I didn't choose COVID. It chose me. I'm a family board-certified family physician. Last 20 years in an upstate New York community. And in March of 2020, my community got hit, and I found myself in the epicenter of the largest, most concentrated outpatient COVID outbreak in the country. And at that time, if you recall, there was no treatment. So all we were telling patients is go home, take Tylenol when you get sicker, go to the hospital, get on a respirator. And in New York area, 80% were dying. That didn't seem like a very good treatment approach. And I've been a doctor for a small community for 20 years, and I felt like I had skin in the game. These patients are like family to me, and they were looking at me for help, and I had nothing to offer them. It's a terrible feeling. And so I prayed to God. I'm not joking. I remember it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I saw in my email a video from YouTube called MedCram, episode 34, Dr. Schultz. And he explained the theory behind zinc ionophores and zinc, and how they can inhibit, in theory, RNA viruses. I said, wow, this really makes sense to me. And keep in mind, we're in World War III mode. The whole world was facing this disease. There was no guidance. There's no treatment. So like the Marines, you know, you have to improvise. Mm-hmm. So I decided to innovate and started treating patients. But I created a certain protocol. And the protocol is based on common sense, which is basically identify the high-risk patients. And the way I did that was I called the local hospitals in their ICU, and I asked them which patients were dying. They told me the elderly and those with medical problems. And then I said, what about the younger patients? They said, we're not seeing them. So right away, I figured out this virus doesn't kill equally. And I also decided to treat people as soon as possible, not wait for results of testing, which at that time took a week. And by the time I got the results, they were half dead already. So that didn't make sense. So I just treated them empirically based on my clinical judgment. I would do the testing also, but I would not delay treatment. And the treatment approach was based on the work of Dr. Didier Raoul in Marseille, France, who used azithromycin and hydroxychloroquine, and the South Koreans, which had used hydroxychloroquine and zinc. I modified the dosing. I put it together into a cocktail, and I started giving it to my patients that I thought were at high risk. And within 6 to 12 hours, I saw drastic improvement in breathing. Now, initially, I didn't believe it either. I thought it was a fluke. But after a few dozen patients, all showing the same pattern of improvement, I realized that with God's help, I stumbled across something significant. I made a YouTube video addressed to the President of the United States with the help of my son. I didn't know how to make a YouTube video. And next day, Mark Meadows called me on my cell phone and asked me why I needed to speak to the President. I told him what I was seeing. They were interested, and that began my relationship with the Trump administration. Every few days, I would give them updates. Eventually, Rudy Giuliani reached out to me. I did a podcast with him, which went viral. And my life has never been the same since. I've advised almost a dozen governments at this point. And when the President announced that he was taking hydroxychloroquine, he said that he got a letter from an upstate New York doctor describing his recommendations. And that was my letter. That's why I found out the President actually got my letter. And so that's how I got involved with it. It was necessity is the mother of all innovation. I felt I needed to save my patients. They were dying.
So there we had somebody on our show who I respect a lot, Alex Berenson, who said that the data shows that hydroxychloroquine really is not effective in fighting the virus. I don't agree with that, just anecdotally from what I've seen. Talk about the science of it and talk about the success you've seen through the mixture of hydroxychloroquine, zinc, vitamin D, and vitamin C.
Well, not all opinions are equal. I don't know how many patients Alex treated, but I've treated 7,000 COVID-19 patients, and we had 3 deaths. Statistically, we were expecting almost 300 deaths. And I've trained over 1,000 physicians at this point, wow. Some of which are from world-renowned institutions like Harvard and Yale, Baylor, and many others. I treated President Trump and Rudy Giuliani, President Bolsonaro. The health minister of Israel called me. You would think, right? The Israeli state has a few doctors, right? Well, I don't know why he had to reach out to an upstate New York doctor. But so the proof is, and I've published in internationally renowned journals showing an 84% reduction in hospitalization and death if you do things in the way that I'm recommending. And that's been corroborated by other dozens of other peer-reviewed studies. So the people that are saying this are either ignorant or willfully misleading others. So the reality is the following, that COVID-19 is 2 diseases. There's the viral phase, which is in the first week. No one dies from that. But then the virus triggers an immune reaction, which causes catastrophic lung damage and blood clots. And that usually happens in week 2 and 3. So the concept is very simple. If you put out the fire before it spreads, then it doesn't spread and people get better. So the best way to prevent lung damage is not to let the infection get out of control. So that's why treating early is so imperative. And so, for example, the NIH recommends delaying treatment until you're in the hospital with an oxygen level less than 92. That's current recommendations as of today. That's a recommendation of death. That's a recommendation of a organization that wants complications to develop and people to die. It's not interested in saving people's lives.
I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. I've been saying it for a while, as you know, and there's so many different directions I want to go with this. Let me start with one that I had while you were talking, which is you said that somebody from Israel called you. Is that right? Or you talked with someone from Israel? Is that right?
I'm on the health minister.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, though, Israel's now gone through like their 4th round of vaccinations. What are they seeing or what do they believe that makes them go in that direction and not one that you've just articulated of early intervention, one of, you know, treatment aggressively in that first phase? Could you add any insight into that?
I can. Keep in mind, I'm a Hasidic Jew, and my family came from the Ukraine, had over 40 people murdered in the Holocaust. Some were buried alive in Kiev, in a place called Babi Yar. So I'm quite sensitive to Jewish needs and the Jewish state. So I could say that in my opinion, the current Israeli government is a reincarnation of Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor.
Wow.
Who committed human experimentation and atrocities against the Jewish people. And I view the Israeli current Israeli government in the same way. I don't blame the people, but I do think that the government is acting in a degree of malevolence that would make Hitler proud.
Do you think they're doing so intentionally, Doctor?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you why. I was in contact with Bibi Netanyahu in the first week of April of 2020. I had sent him basically a carbon copy letter of what I sent to President Trump. And I know it was hand-delivered to him. That was verified. And 3 days later, he called Prime Minister Modi from India, ordered 4 million hydroxychloroquine pills, and they were shipped to Israel, and they sat in the warehouse and were never used. And then I was always wondering why. Well, apparently, in May, Israel signed a secret agreement with Pfizer, going and committing to a certain course of action, and hydroxychloroquine was not part of that agenda. So the interest of the evidence was ignored.
On a daily basis, people are being inundated with ads for overpriced boxers with some sort of slick ad campaign, and some would say innuendos. Personally speaking, I prefer to keep this topic very private, but I'm happy to tell you about a company that has a great product and shares our values. I want to tell you about UnderTack, the only men's basic brand that is unapologetically Christian, pro-American, pro-military, very, very proud pro-2A. They put comfort and functionality first by integrating a quick-release fly and secret pocket in extra-wide waistband for cash or tactical necessities. They're also antibacterial, anti-pilling, and the moisture-wicking fabric is super soft and comfortable. UnderTech is durable, fade-resistant, shrink-resistant, and ultra-lightweight. Here's the best part. They're 30% less expensive than the competition. Go to UnderTech.com. That's UnderTech with a C.com. Right now, as a special Christmas offer, get 20% off with the offer code KIRK20. That's K-I-R-K, number 20. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get UnderTech.com. That's UnderTech.com. Promo code KIRK20 for 20% off. Yeah, I mean, that it's an extraordinary thing. I don't want to go too deep into this, but you're saying it is intentional that the Israeli government would not want what's best for their citizens. I'm not going to ask you to try to describe or explain the intentions of how that could possibly, you know, be the case. But I will say that under the current set of circumstances, it does beg the question, given the overwhelming amount of evidence. Let's just take around vitamin D, not even hydroxychloroquine or vitamin C, but just vitamin D levels, on how no one is talking about that from Jerusalem to Berlin to London to the United States. And so, Doctor, talk a little bit about how you've had this correct hypothesis from nearly the very beginning, and you've now seen the vaccine and some of its failures. You've seen all of this kind of unfold. How are you processing this? It must be incredibly frustrating for you, especially as you see what's happening in Israel, here in the United States, because as you say, you've treated 7,000 patients.
It's incredibly liberating for me. I have to tell you that becoming aware of reality, even if it's unpleasant, but at least living in reality, has therapeutic value, and not living in a lie. So I reverse engineered the worst crime in human history, and I put the pieces together, and I see the puzzle, I see the big picture. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I'm a conspiracy realist. Now, there's a joke, right? Noah in the Bible was a conspiracy theorist until it rained, right? Then he wasn't a theory.
I'm going to use that.
Please, feel free. So it began when Cuomo, the ghoul, who murdered 20,000 nursing home residents in the state of New York, blocked access. He issued an executive order where my patients can't get hydroxychloroquine. And it was my patients because I was the only one in the state doing it. Let me ask you a question. A drug that was used over a billion times over 65 years is FDA approved for lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, malaria, and malaria prophylaxis, is given to nursing mothers, is given to pregnant women, given to children. Some people live on it their whole lives. And all of a sudden, it's deemed dangerous, but it's only dangerous for COVID patients. It's not dangerous to pregnant women or taking it for rheumatoid arthritis. And so he issues an order where my patients can't get it. Well, that really made sense to me. So, you know, I improvised. I did research again. I innovated. I found a substitute for hydroxychloroquine on the NIH server. It's funny. And it was something called quercetin. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know what it was. I just Googled it, and I see that it's over the counter. I said, oh, my God, I just discovered the cure to tyranny. Because I could say, listen, Charlie, screw the doctor. And this. You know, there are two reasons why people die from COVID. Is the moronic doctor that delays treatment, and the tyrannical government that people live under that blocks access to life-saving medication. Besides that, there's really no reason to die from COVID. That's what the evidence shows. So so all of a sudden now I can just circumvent all the regulation and just say, go to the vitamin shop, buy some quercetin, vitamin C, D, and zinc, take it in the right way, and you'll be okay. And that's incredibly liberating, I have to say, because people could reintegrate back into society and they can see the people they love. They don't have to be isolated. They don't have to live in chronic fear. Now, then I noticed that world-leading experts like Dr. Robert Malone and other doctors who really Nobel laureates who were saying things that were against the narrative of what the government was saying were deplatformed. I said, whoa, what does that mean? The guy who invented the mRNA vaccine technology says something that the government doesn't like, and now he gets thrown off of Twitter and everything else. Mm-hmm. That didn't make sense to me. And so that opened my eyes and said, well, really, what is going on here? And then I realized, because I started doing research and I followed the patents, I know Dr. David Martin, he taught me a lot, and I realized that this is not a natural event, but that this is but what they call gain of function research was really taking and creating a weapon of mass destruction and murder. And so then I realized the details that in 1999, Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill took a corona bat virus, converted it, changed the glycoprotein on its surface and made it infect human beings. How do I know about that? Because he got a patent for it. The guy has a patent for that technology. And then in 2015, guess what? The same Ralph Baric and Dr. Zhang Li from Wuhan figured out how to augment the lethality of this virus to cause catastrophic lung damage and cause blood clots. And they published a paper funded by the NIH, and then they filed patents for it. Really? And so not even the liberal media right now has the audacity to say that this is a naturally occurring virus. This is a man-made bioweapon.
Yes.
And then I have to ask myself, well, why is it that anything that offers hope to people that they're not going to die, if you listen to the media, right, it's all doom and gloom, but anything that had potential, like even the simple thing as early treatment, you know, it's pretty pathetic when common sense is considered genius. it doesn't take much to figure out. You look at the CDC website about influenza virus, it's an RNA virus. The recommendations are to start treatment within the first 48 hours with antiviral drugs. Why? Because that's when they work. And so why is it that we would, it's like telling someone, you have cancer, but we can't treat it until it spreads everywhere in your brain. And only then we'll try to treat it. You know, that's exactly what we're saying to patients now. The government is saying that and the majority of doctors. So nothing made sense to me. And then I realized really what is, when the vaccines got rolled out and I did more research and I did, I'm not anti-vax. I'm anti-stupid. And what I mean by that is that I look at every situation in life, try to do a risk versus benefit analysis and see, is it worth it? So in terms of medicine and when it comes to vaccines, you have to look at three things. Is there a medical necessity for it? Do we need it? Listen, if you come to my office, you have a runny nose, doesn't mean I should cut off your hand. I know how to cut off a hand, but it's not medically indicated. You have a runny nose. And so just because I know how to do something doesn't mean I need to do it. I have to have a good reason to do it, right? That's number one. Number two, well, efficacy. Does it work? If I'm going to do something, I should have at least a reasonable sense that it's going to work. And number three is the safety profile. So let's go through this analysis very intelligently and then come to some conclusions. And by the way, I beg anyone who's listening to this not to believe a word that I'm saying. Do your own research. listen to the information, do your due diligence, vet what I'm saying. Don't make the same mistake with me as you've done with the government, with blind faith. That's a recipe for disaster. I'm just one person. But I will give you information. I'll give you specific information. And then you can do your own research and then make your own decisions. So anyway, so if you look at medical necessity, according to the CDC, children have a 99.998% chance of recovery from COVID-19 with no treatment. I'll say it again. 99.998% recovery with no treatment. That's a near 100%. That's safer than influenza virus, right? So all the kids get better if they're young and healthy. So why would I do something dangerous, clearly dangerous, to a child to protect them from something that is not a danger to them? Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president of Pfizer, told me personally, he said it in international media, that statistically, for every one child that dies from COVID, 100 die from vaccine. I'll say it again. The vaccine is 100 times more lethal.
Where did he say this?
He said it to me, and he said it in the media. I will send you the clip.
Wow.
He's a former vice president of Pfizer.
Big Tech is monitoring, censoring, mining, and selling your online information. SquadPod is the solution. 100% U.S. programmed, owned, and operated. SquadPod is a convenient all-in-one application supporting your private connection with others of your choice. I know the people behind SquadPod. They do a great job. Safely bring together your family, your friends, your team, club, businesses, or congregation with SquadPod's chat, document sharing, discussion, and televideo capabilities. The SquadPod application is encrypted, protecting your communications and content without any annoying advertisements. They do not censor, mine, profile, or sell your information. I have gotten to know the SquadPod team. They are true patriots with a mission dedicated to your privacy, safety, and freedom of speech. Join myself and other organizations such as Turning Point USA, nonprofits, and churches by adopting SquadPod as your collaboration platform. Take back control of your privacy by visiting squadpod.com/Charlie. That is squadpod.com/Charlie. Great people. Check it out right now. Squadpod.com/Charlie.
So it's 100 times more lethal. By the way, everything I'm going to say to you, I will then send you the documentation and the evidence because I know it's going to be hyper-scrutinized, rightfully so. And so I want to present the basis for my opinions, and I think that's important. If you take a demographic such as people that have had COVID and recovered, so they have natural antibodies. All the data, there's like 30 papers that show that natural immunity, God-given immunity, is much more effective than vaccine-induced immunity. So why would I give someone a shot to make inferior antibodies when they already have superior antibodies? The real question goes in the high-risk population, which has around a 5% mortality rate. Maybe in that case, it's worth the risk. And that we need to vet. But what I've tried to show you is that the majority of people do not need this vaccine. Even if it was safe and even if it worked, there's no necessity for it in the majority of people. There may be necessity in the high-risk group. Okay, let's look at efficacy. The three most vaccinated countries in the world are Israel, Gibraltar, and Seychelles. Seychelles is an island nation in the Indian Ocean. They all have more than 85% of their population vaccinated. They are all experiencing massive outbreaks of Delta variant, and now they're getting Omicron. So here's the question. You know, Einstein said that insanity, the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Why would the idiots in Israel medical system think that if they already gave two shots and it doesn't protect them from Delta, giving a third, fourth, and fifth shot will? That's insanity. So it doesn't even work, or at least it doesn't work against all the variants. And now let's go to the safety profile. Well, all the evidence shows that it causes blood clots, and we know exactly why, because your body becomes a spike-producing factory, making trillions of spikes that line the endothelium, the inner lining of your blood vessels, like thorns. And when your blood cells flow through them, they get damaged, leak their contents, and cause an inflammatory clotting reaction. That's according to the Salk Institute from San Diego, from a paper that was published 7 months ago. And so if that happens in the heart, that's a heart attack. If that happens in the brain, that's a stroke. And that's, we're seeing massive amounts of death due to strokes and due to heart attacks. How about all the myocarditis, which is like basically taking a healthy human heart, putting it in a food processor? That's what you see happening to all these athletes that are dropping dead in the field. How about the increase in miscarriage rates in the first trimester from 10 to 82%, proven? How about the increased spike in cancer and autoimmune diseases? How about the damage to ovarian and testicular function? And that's nothing compared to what's considered antibody-dependent enhancement basically a pathologic immune reaction that's already killing people. So what we really have is a poison death shot. It's not a vaccine. Or it's a vaccine that kills people, whatever term you want to use, but it doesn't matter. It's poison. And so it has no medical necessity. It doesn't work. And it kills people immediately and over time. And also, I don't really care how science fiction something sounds. I have evidence. I have a patent, which I will share with you, which was approved by the United States Patent Office August 31st. Which is 50 pages of engineering, nanotechnology engineering, that shows that these vaccines already possess within them technology to measure your internal physiological data, such as heart rate, respiratory rate, pulse, and transmit that data with your location to a third party. That is already an approved patent that exists within the vaccine. And also, there's a patent that's owned by Microsoft. This one I remember by heart. Because it's an international patent, WO2020-060606. That's a hard one to forget. And it links
a little creepy.
Biometric data to cryptocurrency. I want you to think about that for a second. It sounds cool, right? You can use your arm instead of your Apple Pay. But the potential for abuse here is remarkable. Because really, what we're doing is creating the mark of the beast. Because think about it. If your ability to do commerce is linked to your internal physiology and you're transmitting that information, otherwise you can't buy bread. Well, if you're not part of that system, if you don't have that transmitter, you can't buy bread, at least maybe on the black market, but you won't be able to be part of the finance system. How about this one? What if I don't like what you say? And I don't have to put a bullet in your head. All I can do is say, you can't leave your house more than 5 miles from radius. And if you go out of that, I know your location. I just turn off your ability to do commerce. You can't buy bread. That's what's coming. So what we've seen is a historical biblical narrative where there's an attempt to enslave humanity by a small group of sociopaths. And slavery has never gone away. It's the most lucrative industry in the history of humanity. And so that's what we're seeing, a group of, they think they're intellectually elite. They have a higher level of consciousness. I call them devolved and depraved pagans. These are the pagans of yesteryear. They worship themselves. They want to be deities. And if you ever notice, any and every totalitarian movement in history, the first thing they do is try to eliminate belief in God and houses of worship. And the reason is simple. If I bow down to God, I'm not going to bow down to them. And so what I notice is the following. The sociopath Klaus Schwab said in 2016, and I have this interview and I have it, it's in French, but with subtitles. He said that within 10 years, every person on the planet will be tagged with a digital identifier. Really? So how are you going to accomplish that one? Well, I have an idea. You create an artificial bioweapon, scare the hell out of humanity, preach doom and gloom, take anything that could alleviate, that will be an antidote to the poison that's been spread around the world, suppress that information, vilify. In Australia, doctors go to jail for writing hydroxychloroquine. In Israel, you can't get hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. My patients, depending on the state that they live in, I have to call 3, 4, 5 pharmacies to get them medicine. So anything that gave hope to humanity was marginalized, vilified, whether it's hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, early treatment, whatever. And so I had to ask myself, really, what is going on here? And I realized that the real weapon here is fear. If you know psychological warfare, fear, anxiety over time, together with human isolation, causes 99% of the people to become psychologically decompensated. They become depressed, gullible, vulnerable. You can manipulate them to do whatever you want. And so then you create an artificial problem, and then you offer a solution. You dangle the golden calf of this vaccine, which most people don't need. It doesn't work and it's dangerous. And most people will gravitate towards that. And it's not intellectual. I know brilliant people that have fallen into this trap. And if you challenge them and say, well, why did you do that? They didn't see the evidence. They become belligerent. And the reason why is very simple. My words are bringing them back into that anxiety state they don't want to be in.
That's so
they took a shot to restore some degree of psychological normalcy to themselves. It's tragic. It's mass psychosis. That's really what's going on. And so anything that gives hope to people is a weapon against their weapon. Fear is the tool of the enemy to take human consciousness and make it codependent on sociopaths, on a cult. And so the answer is very simple. I mean, I really do believe what I'm about to say to you, that anxiety lives in the psychological and emotional spheres, space, where the consciousness of God is absent. And so the solution here is God consciousness, because it's a war against God. It's the collision of two systems. There's the system that says that we're made in the image of God. We're made in the image of God. Our lives have sanctity. We have human rights. And it's God's department how many of us live on the planet and how long we live, right? And the other system is based on eugenics or Darwin, where it's survival of the fittest, essentially, or there's a genetic hierarchy, a dominance hierarchy. In humanity, some people are on top, and they can be on top because of genetics or because of intelligence or power or money, whatever. But they feel empowered to dictate what happens to others. And so this sounds familiar, right? Because 80 years ago, the Nazis, they believed they were descendants of Aryan gods, and they were the Übermensch, right? Like Nietzsche would say, the Superman. And they felt that they should and have the right to enslave the humans, which were the Anglo-Saxons. And they felt that they could exterminate the subhumans, which I belong to, Slavs, gypsies, handicapped people, political prisoners. And so we were meant to be thrown into ovens and become vapor, dust. And so this mentality didn't go away. It just went to sleep. It just resurfaced, but it's not anti-Semitic. It's based on some warped, godlike complex of these sociopaths that they think that they're smarter, better, holier, whatever, than us. And they have a right to cull the population, reduce to useless eaters, enslave everyone else to serve them. I have evidence for all of this. It's very clear to me what's going on. And my hope, my prayer to everyone is, first of all, you have nothing to be afraid of except fear. There are very common sense measures you can take that will mitigate the risk of developing COVID. And if you do get COVID, that it'll be not complicated. You'll get better. Not everyone, obviously. I can't guarantee that. But the majority of people. And you shouldn't isolate yourself from the people you love. You should be integrated in life. Live life to the fullest. And don't listen to the fear that is being pumped through the media, which they're just nothing more than a platform of death in most cases.
I recently received a question from a listener. She wanted to know if it was possible to avoid digestion problems by eating only healthy organic food. It was a nice thought, but unfortunately, it's just not possible. You see, your natural ability to digest food declines with age. This is because your body produces fewer enzymes, which are proteins responsible for digesting food. Fewer enzymes mean more difficulty digesting food. Even organic foods won't provide enough enzymes to properly digest them. This is especially true if you cook your food, because cooking kills enzymes. This is why you have digestion problems even after a healthy meal. Your body just can't produce enough enzymes to get the job done. That's why you need to supplement with a high-quality enzyme supplement that could be a huge help. I personally recommend Masszymes by Bioptimizers. It is the best-in-class supplement loaded with full-spectrum enzymes for digesting protein, starches, sugars, fibers, and fats. Taking Masszymes daily helps top off your enzyme levels and replace the enzymes your body is no longer producing. Listen. Life is too short to suffer from digestion problems. If you want freedom from your food, especially this holiday season, go to Masszymes risk-free and experience the magic of high-quality enzymes. For an exclusive offer, my listeners can go to masszymes.com/Kirk, MassZymes.com/Kirk. Again, that's masszymes.com/Kirk, masszymes.com/Kirk. So is that it? No, I'm kidding. I mean,
I needed a drink.
No, I would think it's satanic. I know that the Jewish view of Satan is hotly debated, but I, as a Christian,
no, it's satanic. It's pretty satanic. I think it goes back to the serpent from the Garden of Eden. I mean, this is real.
I totally agree. And as you know, Satan means prosecutor in Hebrew, and makes you think about some things. So we don't have a lot of time left. It's incredibly important. Let's start with kind of how you finished. How can people empower themselves? Because a lot of our listeners are still living in fear. We've tried to equip them with information about vitamin D, vitamin C. Talk a little bit about, I butcher the pronunciation. Quercetin, is that right? Quercetin? Quercetin?
Yeah, quercetin. Yeah.
Quercetin.
So I'm a big student, follower, admirer of King David, Psalms. He writes, turn away from bad, do good, and live. Amen. Very good prescription. And so let's define the terms. Turn away from bad is don't give in to the fear. Don't isolate yourself from the people you love, and don't take the poison that shot. That's a good start. Do good means if you're in the higher risk category, let's define. Let's say I'm going to be a little loose and liberal. If you're over the age of 45, if you have medical problems, or you took the poison death shot, so you're in the higher risk category and you need to be protected. And the way to protect yourself is, if you took the vaccine, for example, so you have bombs inside. Now, just because you have a bomb doesn't mean it's detonated. So if you knew the trigger for the detonation, you can have a rational strategy to avoid it from going off. And the concern is antibody-dependent enhancement where your own immune system kills you. And so, and that was witnessed in the animal models and in previous vaccines. This is well, and we're actually seeing it already in human beings. If you listen to Dr. Robert Malone, he'll explain it. So anyway, so the key is to avoid the trigger. So what's the trigger? Well, it's a viral infection that is similar to the antibody that you have now been, that you have. And so how do you prevent yourself from getting another viral infection? Well, the key is don't make more bombs. That's not going to help you. And number two is take antiviral prophylaxis prevention so that you are primed so that you won't get it. And if you do get it, God forbid, you take immediate aggressive treatment day one so that the immune system doesn't explode. And so that's really, and you'll live. That's the strategy. Now, how do we do that? The science is very simple. Zinc inhibits RNA-dependent RNA polymerase. That's the most important enzyme in RNA viral replication. A virus needs to make a copy of its genetic material in order to spread. If we block that, and this is very important, you block replication of all the strains. I don't care if it's alpha, beta, delta, omicron. It doesn't, irrelevant to me. I don't care how it gets into the cell. I care that it doesn't make copies of its genetic material. And they all use the same common pathway. So if you stop RNA-dependent RNA polymerase with zinc, you stop viral replication, your immune system can clear it before the complications begin. But we have a problem. Zinc does not get into the cell on its own. There are biochemical reasons for that. So it needs a delivery system. It's like a gun and a bullet. If I just give you bullets, it's not going to help you. You need a bullet delivery system. It's called a gun. If I give you a gun without bullets, that's not going to help you. You need the synergy of a delivery system with the bullet. And so it turns out hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, something called quercetin, which we talked about, which is a derivative of apple peels. It's over the counter. And something called EGCG, which is a green tea extract. All this has been proven by peer-reviewed NIH papers. I have this all. I'll blast you with everything. You can delete it as you wish. And so if you have the two together, so you deliver enough zinc into the cell to inhibit the enzyme, you stop viral replication. And vitamin D, as you mentioned earlier, there are dozens of papers that show that high normal levels of vitamin D3 between 50 and 70 eliminate intensive care unit admissions. Meaning, if you have enough vitamin D before you get sick, it's not a COVID thing. It's a general immune health issue. If you have enough vitamin D in your system before you get sick, if you're challenged and attacked by a pathogen, your immune system is in majority of cases strong enough to repel the infection. That's why if you do a survey of ICU intensive care unit admissions, 99% of those patients are low in vitamin D.
That's right.
So that's how it works. I open sourced all this information. What happened was that it was a little complex and too many options. People weren't able to source all the drugs in the right time frame, all in one place. It became a little logistically difficult. So I was asked to actually put everything in one pill, which I did, for the convenience and more importantly, to have in the right time frame the available tool. According to the FDA, all I can say is that whatever I made is a nutritional supplement and immune booster. Otherwise, they'll put me in jail. But I can just tell you that there are peer-reviewed studies that show that quercetin and vitamin C are an effective zinc delivery system. Zinc inhibits RNA-dependent RNA polymerase. Vitamin D3 upregulates your immune system so you don't get that sick. And it's all in the one pill.
They can get it at zstacklife.com/Charlie. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. zstacklife.com/Charlie.
And I'm looking at the website. It's a mixture of zinc immune support, quercetin, hercetin, whatever. And it's kosher, which is great. Vitamin C, vitamin D, all into one pill. Is that right?
Yeah. And not only that, I just found out last week that the state of Florida has now began to officially recommend on their Department of Health website, exactly that for
That's
prophylaxis.
Right. And I've been pleased. And I will say a couple things about this. And then we're going to have you back on, doctor, because I have so many different thoughts. As bad as it is, America's in a better spot thanks to the American founding fathers. I mean that. State-based systems, you look at, you know, kind of us versus Germany, us versus Austria. We have a little bit more, let's say, access to the truth than most developed countries do, which has been a positive. I think people are starting to wake up. I really do. And I mean, you say you had 3 deaths out of 7,000 people you've treated. Is that right?
With COVID, yeah. My team, yeah.
And that's all ages, all demographics, right?
Well, let me tell you how it works. 2/3 of those patients I didn't treat. I said, you're low risk, go home, you'll be fine. And 100% of them survived. Now, the high risk group, which were over the age of 45, had medical problems or had been vaccinated, at that time, they had a 7.5% death rate. So if you take 2/3 of 7,000, it's like 2,500 people, a little less, and you would expect a 7.5% death rate, you would expect around 200 or so more dead people. We had 3. That's several orders of magnitude less than what was predicted. So, and my data showed an 84% reduction in hospitalization and death. If you do it, let me put things in perspective. 800,000 dead Americans, we could have prevented 700,000 from going to the hospital.
From even going to the hospital. Well, Dr. Zelenko, I think I speak for our audience listening. I wish we had more of you and more people as courageous as you. This will be my final question, which is there's a lot of people that are still uncertain because they are living in the nonstop propaganda campaign. They can go to zstacklife.com to get more information on this.
/Charlie.
That's right. For the special deal, for the immune system formula developed by Dr. Zelenko. I suppose my last question is, I mean, basically what you're saying is that this is a struggle for humanity as we know it. Is that right?
This is our, you know, we grew up with some degree of freedom. You know, freedom isn't free. Previous generations paid for it. Question is, will our children be free? It's not certain. And the answer is, it depends, are we ready to sacrifice? And it's our storming the beaches of Normandy moment. And this is a hill worthy of dying on. Because what's happening is that there's an onslaught on God consciousness. And whether or not our children will have a freedom and liberty and thrive and have the ability to live a God-centered existence is at stake. And I think that it's time to all rise up, hopefully in a nonviolent way, and civil disobedience, say no to the tyrannical government. And, you know, honestly, the difference between us and Australia, for example, is that there's 450 million guns in the hands of decent law-abiding citizens. And so that's why the demented puppet in the White House didn't send his stormtroopers into people's houses.
I totally agree with you. I think that's exactly right.
And so it's time to, you know, the Constitution is a divinely inspired document, in my opinion.
I agree.
And the framers knew that the Second Amendment was there for a reason, not to protect me from Charlie, but protect us from tyrannical government. And that's exactly what we have. And so we need to band together with like-minded people, create cities of refuge of God consciousness, and illuminate the continents of tyranny. That's exactly what's going on. It's a war against God.
Amen. Dr. Zelenko, incredible. Thank you so much. ZStackLife.com/Charlie. We got to have you back on soon. Thank you again. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.